presence of the Lord, you can walk in to a place and tell that there's great grace, there's great love, there's great covering. You have an incredible shepherd team. And I just thank God for that. What a blessed people you are. I go all over the world, and you can walk in it and you can tell. And you are blessed to be in this place. Why don't you tell your neighbor, we're in the best place in the world today. You really are. Amen. This side of heaven. Praise God. I just need to tell you a little bit, just a smidgen about us. The offering that you give today will go to ministry. We live in the poorest county in Minnesota, and we have food shelves, and we clothe the hungry, we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we go into the reservation up in Cass Lake and dress them for school. We just came back from dressing them for school and clothing them, and we just sent a big truckload of shoes to South Africa, and we just sent 2,000 blankets to Guatemala. So we're right up your alley. We love pure religion. We love pure religion. It's not about churchianity. It's about loving Jesus and one beggar telling another beggar where we found bread. Amen. That's what it's all about. So today I just want to bless you in the name of the Lord. And I do prophesy to you that the Lord told me to tell you while you were in line that what the rest of your life is the best of your life. And he says, Deuteronomy 1:11, that what's ahead of you is 1,000 times greater than what you've seen. He said, you've sown seeds and you're getting ready to have a bumper crop in Jesus' name. You have sown and you have sown. And you have sown when you didn't have to sow. And you gave your last seed. And the Lord said, recompense is coming. Your day is coming. You ain't seen nothing yet in Jesus' name. He said, money's going to flow through your hands because he can trust you. It's going to be like water and it's going to turn to wine in your hands. And you're going to feed and bless with the joy of the Lord your future. I tell you, get ready, get ready. You ain't seen nothing yet in Jesus' name. I'd be afraid to say that because this is a house that discerns. And I tell you, he told me to tell you that line. I didn't know who you were when you came through that line last night. And that's what he said. The rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise for this man and woman of God. You have a daddy. You have a daddy this side of heaven, and that's him. And I honor the house, and I honor the anointing in this house. Right now, I would like to just share for a few moments what the Lord has laid on my heart about the incredible grace, the incredible love, the incurable love of a daddy God who gave everything for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I humble myself. I thank you, Father, for this single privilege of being in this great house, of being in this house of power and prophecy and provision. Father, I thank you. I come up under that shadow. I come up under the covering of this house. And Lord, I ask now that I could hide behind the cross, that Lord, they would hear your voice and hear your word, and they would send. Lord, I thank you for ears to hear the precious gospel and hearts to receive the glorious gospel, the good news that Jesus loves us, not because of us, but in spite of us. I love you, Jesus, because you're transforming this body of believers into the body of Christ Jesus. That as people see this house, they will know we are Christians by our love. So I thank you for the great love that pours in this church and is flowing out of this church. Bless each one now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, I want you to turn to your neighbor if you don't mind, and I hope we can interact this morning, and I want you to tell them, if it weren't for you, I'd be the cutest thing here. Oh, so glad to be in a house of good-looking people. Hallelujah. What an honor. What an honor. I tell you, I don't know what's going on in your life, but Satan can't curse what God has blessed, and you are blessed. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. We're a blessed people, amen? He's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. My message this morning is taken out of Revelation 12:11, and this is what it says. We overcome today by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto the death. I'm going to focus in on the first two just for a moment. We overcome. Not we overcame, we're continually overcoming everything that faces us. And greater is he that dwells within us than he that's in the world. There's nothing we face that God cannot help us get through in Jesus' name. And then we're better on the other side of the tragedy than we were before we started, amen? Because we have to step on that thing to go to the next level. We keep going higher and higher and greater if we don't quit. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It was shed 2,000 years ago, but it still speaks today. It goes from the guttermost to the uttermost. There's nothing his blood cannot cover, amen? So by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we have a part to play. When you get prophecies, you need to seed your atmosphere with the word God puts in your heart. You need to speak it out because that word, by the word of our testimony, the word word, the root word starts at the word logo, which is the spoken word. But it goes into the whole root. It's Lego. What do you do with Legos? You build something. Hallelujah. He says you overcome everything. Your history doesn't determine your destiny. It might have happened to you, but you ain't it. Amen. It might have happened to you. You're going to be better and stronger because you went through it. Because you're going to go through and Jesus Christ will go through it with you. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You can rebuild your life by the words you speak. Tell your neighbor you need to mature and listen and speak your words because the words you speak are spirit and they are life. What are you going to be building? Amen. In Jesus' name. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But I want to hone in now on the blood of the Lamb. I wish I could speak. It's really a 3-day sermon. So I'm going to pick the first part. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You see, heaven is off the chain in love with you. Heaven loves you so much. Abba wants to replace everything. Say everything. That you've been ripped off and ravaged and raped in your life. He wants to kick in the devil's teeth, skin his scaly hide, gouge out his bulbous, veiny eyes out of their sockets, and snatch back everything the devil has stolen and tried to attack in your life. And I've got a word for you. Proverbs 6:31 says this, when the thief has been found out, he's got to restore 7 times what he stole. Give somebody a high five, 7 times in Jesus' name. So see, we don't just get through and barely get by. He said, the devil's going to wish he never messed with you. Amen. Because you're not only going to have to get back what he tried to take, he's going to have a recompense of reward. For every place the devil has stolen and sabotaged and tried to terrorize you, Jesus paid for it all with interest. God's not mad. Good news. He's crazy about you. And he loves you madly. And the devil's going to wish he never messed with you. In Jesus' name. You are going to give the devil a nervous breakdown. You're going to make the devil, you're going to make hell wish they had never even stuck their stinking little nose in your life. Amen? Amen. Because you are God's favorite. And you are God's favorite. Revelation 12:11, we talked about it. Blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to get straight to it because we've got stuff to do. There is a remedy for everything that's happened in your life. We overcome by the blood. Number one, the first place Jesus shed his blood. The very first place was he saved Romans 5:8. While I was yet a sinner, Christ loved me and gave himself for me. So sometimes after we get saved, the enemy will try to put doubt and put condemnation on us. Jesus said, before you ever knew me, before you ever loved me, my grace and my blood was applied at the mercy seat. I took on all your sins before you were ever saved. How much more once you've come into that family? Mercy. Tell your neighbor, hey, God's crazy about me. I'm his favorite. Tell him. Hallelujah. The second place Jesus shed his blood was on the brow. When Jesus in Luke 22, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they put the crown of thorns upon his head. Or before the crown, he was in great travail in Gethsemane. And the word says that his sweat became like great drops of blood and fell to the ground. It was a hematidrosis, which is an actual scientific medical terminology. It's when somebody's under great stress and strain that they're so overcome by pressure that the blood vessels in their temple burst, and instead of sweat pouring out of their sweat glands, it's blood. Jesus shed his blood on the brow. Why? Because 4,000 years before, Adam in the garden said, not my will, not your will, but mine be done. And Jesus said, I'm the second Adam. And Lord, it's not my will, but yours be done. He's over your will. It's over your mind. You see, the devil wants you to go crazy and think you lost your marbles. Tell your neighbor, I found your marbles. Hallelujah. He wants you to lose your marbles. But the Lord said, I paid, because it's here that you choose to worship the Lord. It's here you choose. You choose this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. He says, choose this day. I set before you, over in Deuteronomy 30, he said, I call heaven and earth as a witness, and I say, choose this day whom you're going to serve. He said, choose this day, life and death, blessing or cursing. And he goes, ding, 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 let me tell you the answer. Choose life so that you and your children might be saved. See, he poured his blood, number one, for our sins before we were saved. But number two, he shed his blood over your mind so that you don't have to go crazy. You can have the mind of Christ, and you can choose to put that addiction down and let the blood give you strength in Jesus' name. I'll tell you what, let's just put our hands together and say, I'm so glad I'm not going to lose my marbles. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Choose this day. He can help you choose. You see, Proverbs 23:7. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've got to get our mind renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, put on the new man by the renewing of your mind. Take off the old man by the renewing of your mind, and put on the new man by the renewing of your mind. Romans 10:17. It says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The very fact that you are in the house of God, that your spiritual life is growing. Faith is growing in your life. Samson, when his hair started growing back, he started getting strength. I tell you, you may not came with much hair today, but your hair's growing in Jesus' name. Your faith is growing. That's why the devil doesn't want you to be in a good church. He'd rather you sit home and watch Joel Osteen. I like Joel Osteen, but it cannot take the place of do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, because it's here where you're going to be covered. It's here where you've got a pastor who's going to pray you through some situations. It's here. It's in church where we share our gifts and we get disciplined and we get corrected, but we get instructed and we get encouraged in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I love my church. I love my church. And Jesus died for the church. Some people say the church is dead. I don't know, because I am the church. And Jesus died for the church. He didn't die just for a religious guy on television who's an evangelist. I mean, he died for him too. But he died for the church. Tell your neighbor, I love this church. Love this church. See, in the Satanic Bible, the first commandment is do what you will. Do what you will. Jesus shed his blood on your mind so you can choose to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Mark 10:27 says, with man, your situation is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. One more time, neighbor, I'm getting my marbles back. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting my marbles back. For sin, he shed his blood for sin, all sin. But so I could get my marbles back. Hallelujah, number two. The third place Jesus shed his blood was that he put a crown of thorns upon his head. It wasn't just about him being the king of the Jews. It had a symbolism in Genesis 2 when the angel prophesied and God prophesied to Adam. He said, from this time on, he said, you're going to, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to glean your food and your money. He's talking about your money. And he said that thorns will come up. I tell you what, Jesus, he said over in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a sin for us. He took sin, he became sin for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that it hangeth upon the cross, so that the blessings of Abraham might come unto us. Abraham was a rich man. So God broke the curse off of our money when Jesus had on the crown of thorns. Now, I'm not up here telling you about name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it, and all that stuff, but I got a rich daddy, and he said, I am El Shaddai. El Shaddai, more than enough, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. Let's go New Testament just to confirm Old Testament. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs, all your needs, according to your, not your riches in glory, his riches in glory. Tell your neighbor, he's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. Hallelujah. More than enough. Oh God, I wish I had time. There's no blue light special in heaven. Hallelujah. He is able. I wish I had time, but we need to go ahead. I could stay about 2 days on this to tell you how that God has provided all my needs. All right now, we're walking by faith again. We stepped out of administration, and now we bought a truck and a trailer, and we literally go all up and down the highways of Minnesota, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, and going in, bringing in backpacks just like you're doing. And what happens is, it's amazing. I almost feel like the widow woman with the barrel of oil and the barrel of meal. Every time I reach in, there's something there, and it's more than enough. Say more than enough. Say this with me. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches, his bank, his ability in heaven. Amen. I receive it now. Give somebody a high five and go, yeehaw. Hallelujah. The fourth place that Jesus shed his blood, he broke everything off of us. He crucified the hands of Jesus. It says, everything I touch is going to be blessed. Reach over and touch your neighbor. Say, blessed, blessed, blessed. Everything you touch is blessed. And it's at that place that you pick up a sword, and he said, one man will chase 1,000 when God's hand is blessing you. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing that can touch you. You can't touch this. Amen. Your hand. He says in Mark 16, I love this. Mark 16, he says this starting in verse 17. These signs shall follow you who believe. In my name, because of his blood, you will cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. You will take off serpents, and if they bite you, smack it in the face because it can't bother you. And he said, and you will lay hands on the sick. You will lay hands on the sick. You will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then down to verse 20, he said this. He said, and these signs follow the word. Wherever you are, when you speak the word of God, your Lego, you're building your future. Your past does not predict your future. Your history doesn't determine your destiny, but everything you lay hands on. You know what we do? We make oil, and we go into Walmart, and we just lay hands. It's so good to see you today. Shaka-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Hallelujah. We go into the bank. Oh, Lord, this is mine in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You lay hands. Everything you touch. Say this. Everything I touch is blessed because Jesus paid for it all. Jesus' name, amen. The fifth place Jesus shed his blood. He was crucified, and he says, by his feet. Oh, I love, this is one of my favorite ones. They crucified his feet. What was he saying? How does that affect us? By what he did 2,000 years ago when they touched his feet. Luke 10, 18 and 19. Oh, I love this one. I'm going to have to be really calm or they won't let me ever come back to this city. Oh, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He's already been defeated. He's already under my feet. Hallelujah. He's under my feet. I won't sing for you, but he's under our feet because then he says, therefore, behold. Whenever the word behold comes in, it's almost like angels are stepping out onto the fringe of heaven, and they pierce the lips and they blow the shofar. Do, 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 do. I got something to tell you, better listen up. Behold, he said, you, tell your neighbor she's talking about me. You will tread on scorpions and serpents. He said, and nothing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt me. Oh God, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. There's a connection there. Therefore, I have the authority over the enemy. He's already fallen down under my feet and everything I step on. So see, it's like this. The enemy will try to roar like a roaring lion. And he will try to terrorize and bluff you. But all you've got to do, it is written, get up under where you go so I can step on you and go to the next level in Jesus' name. The word trample is the Greek word pathos, which is a word bridge. I love this part. You know what? If I didn't go to this church, I'd buy this CD. Because what happened is this. He not only said he's under your feet, but he said when he comes, the fool that he is, his back, his spine becomes the bridge that takes you from where you were to where you're going. So he actually did you a favor. Tell your neighbor, the devil did me a favor. The idiot in Jesus' name. He's crucified. The blood was shed on his feet. Therefore, God told Joshua, everywhere your feet tread is your property, it is your stuff. You go into your school, it's mine. You go into your workplace, this is my place. God just walked in the place because I represent the King of Glory. I walk into Walmart. Y'all are lucky I came to Walmart because we're going to have miracles on aisle 15. We got a cancer crawling off into aisle 16. Because the Lord of Glory is in this place because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellency might be of him and not of ourselves. It's not us. It's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Give somebody a high five and say, I'm so thankful for Jesus. One more scripture there, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, we can condemn. For the righteousness is not of us. But it's because of him. It's not because we're all that in a bag of chips. It's because he is the King of Glory. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord of Glory. Hallelujah. The sixth place Jesus shed his blood. He said, I will heal your broken heart. They said when the spear touched Jesus' heart, blood and water came out. And what happens is scientists now tell us that that was a sign that Jesus didn't die because of the nails. He did not die even because of the sword thrust, the javelin thrust. He died of a broken heart. He says in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the humble, to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. He said, I died of a broken heart because I then can empathize with your broken heart. I can empathize with life that happens to us, disappointments and stuff that we had no control over, or even the things we did participate in, and we are crushed from it. He said, I want to heal your broken heart. It's important that we let him heal our broken heart and we don't stay a victim. We move from being a victim to being a victor in Jesus' name. We move from being broke, busted, and disgusted to being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He can heal your broken heart. Preach deliverance to the captives. The opening of the eyes in the prisons, Luke's 4, to those that are blind, and to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God, the day, the acceptable year of the Lord. And I give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Somebody put your hands together and say, I'm trading my sorrows, and I'm taking it back for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Mark 14:34-36, Jesus took off divinity, mama, sister, pastor, and he put on humanity so that he could pour out of us humanity and put on us glory. But Mark 14 says this, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, my soul. The word soul, 97 and one-third time in the Bible, is the word heart. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He said, and he engaged his emotion, his heart. Then the next, he engaged his mind. He said, you can let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, therefore, Hebrews 4, 13, 14, and 15. He understands. I tell you, if there's any condemnation in your heart, it is not from God. He said, I didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. We therefore, in Hebrews, he says, we have a high priest who empathizes with your pain. He said, I am touched by the feelings of your infirmities. For I was likewise tempted like you, yet without sin. Therefore, I love that word, therefore. Whenever the word therefore is there, you got to find out what it's there for. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. That's the next place he put the blood on the mercy seat. He said, you can obtain mercy and grace in time of need. That doesn't mean if there's areas in our life that we struggle with or we're hurting about, we're afraid to come with a fallen countenance. He said, you can come because I know exactly how you feel. Raise your hand right now, just for a second. Let's make a declaration. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to search my heart. And if there's any broken areas in my life, I ask you to begin that healing even now. Because I want to be full of your love, full of your Spirit, full of your anointing. And I have a problem. I kind of leak. So heal it up now in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, do I look better? I feel better. He came for a broken heart. The blood of Jesus. The seventh place Jesus shed his blood is the blood coursed down the cross and puddled at the foot of the cross and went into the ground. What do you put in the ground? Seed. He said in Isaiah 53, I was bruised for your iniquity. Iniquity is our propensity for rebellion and sin. The stuff passed down in Exodus, the iniquity of the fathers are passed down, meaning the DNA. They have a whole new scientific category. It's called epigenetics. Epigenetics say that we can alter our DNA by our mouth. Oh, I love this. I wish I had time to talk about the mouth, but I'm going to just say a capsule right here. Life is voice activated. Hell is voice activated. Heaven is voice activated. Proof in the scripture. He says in James 4, 2, you have not because you ask not. Hallelujah. Then he says this in Mark. He says 11, 22 through 24. He said, have the faith of God. If you say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe you will have what you say, you're going to have it, baby, in Jesus' name. You're going to have whatsoever you say. Lego, the word of your testimony. But epigenetics says this. You can say, I see a negative propensity in my family of alcoholism. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I cancel that DNA thing in my life. And I turn on the joy and the passion for God. I'm going to have the wine of the Spirit. Alcoholism is under my feet. And wine from heaven is coming to me. Give somebody a high five and say, true that. True that. So what happens is, Jesus broke the curse that was on your family bloodline, because Jesus shed his blood for your bloodline. And not only did he break the curse, I love this part. If I had a bell, I would ding it. Ding, 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 ding. He said not only this, but Psalm 105:8 says, and the blessings, because of the blessings of Abraham, Galatians 3:14, will go down for 1,000 generations on your family. Your family bloodline might have been going this direction for 75 years, and all of a sudden you're the key. You say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel that curse because of the blood of Jesus on the cross, and now my family's going this way. We're passionate for Jesus. You see, my bloodline are alcoholics and guys who had brothels and houses of ill repute on both sides. Lots of stuff going on in my family. And one woman, my granny, little old bun on top of her head, she said, oh God, we're a bunch of reprobates in our family. She was 11 years old. Her dad ran a gambling casino in the Grand Hotel and then some. And she said, Lord, if you will turn my family around, we will give you praise in the name of Jesus. I break every negative DNA propensity in my family and for 1,000 generations. From that point on, I'll tell you the story in a few minutes. There are 17 of us that are in full-time ministry. We moved from prostitutes to prophets in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! 33 of us are working in ministry and 17 are full-time. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think I'm going to be the key to turn it all around. Hallelujah. All it takes, it's amazing the power of one. When God wanted to rescue one nation, he used one man. When, oh God, I can't preach there. That's another sermon. And what time do we have? Is there a clock? I'm doing good. I got 5 minutes. Okay. Next. Acts 16:31, you shall be saved and your household. Job 2:28, your sons and your daughters will not just be saved. They will prophesy. Give somebody a high five and say it's getting ready to turn around. The generational bloodlines are being healed. Hallelujah. The eighth place was on that mercy seat, and I'm going to go ahead and go on. Number nine, see, God didn't leave the devil on earth to torment us. He left him here so that we could torment him. Hallelujah. That we with our frail little bodies could put him under our feet. Give somebody a high five and go, yee-haw, yee-haw, yee-haw. The ninth place was upon time. As he laid upon the cross, one hand reached into eternity past. One hand reached into eternity future. And he embraced it, and Joel 2:25 says, I'll restore the years that the enemy has stolen. There's no regret. You give it to him, he's going to multiply. The clock's going backwards and you're getting time in Jesus' name. No more regrets. Hallelujah. I'm good. And the 10th place was, with his stripes we are healed. I'm closing with this. We were raised in alcoholism, atheism, trailer trash. We were the kids that when they go to school with the bloody lips, the black eyes, and you got to lie to the school nurse that you ran into the wall or you fell off your bike because your arm's dislocated. That's how I was raised until I was 15 and a half. And my grandmother, the only Christian I ever knew that didn't look like a hypocrite, y'all know what I'm talking about, the only one, she contacted cancer. I didn't even know who God was. And you find this hard to believe, but I was a cheerleader. And somebody tried to witness to me about Pontius Pilate. And I thought, what football team does he play for? I had no idea. In America, in the 21st century, I didn't know Jesus. He was a cuss word. And my grandmother had withered into just a bag of bones and bed sores. They called hospice in. This is my granny. I thought she was weird, but she was nice. And I have an uncle, Joe Bertinetti, from Boulder, Texas. The only preacher that I knew, and I didn't even know him. They called us all to the bedside. My dad Think about the person, the transformation. That was my dad. He was a big construction worker, big man. And he used to beat the stuffing out of us. I went to a dermatologist, and he said, "Man, what happened to your face?" I thought, "Is it that bad?" He said, "All the bones on the left side of your face have been broken, and your nostrils are all cattywampus." I said, "That was my dad." And he said, "He must have been right-handed." I said, "Yes, sir, he was. That's how we were raised." So they call us to my grandma's bedside. Grandma was dad's mom. Joe Bertinetti, the death rattle was there. The smell of death was in the house. Hospice was there. And he said, "Oh, God, would you show this family that you're still alive? That you're not just some old, dried up, dead religion. But Hebrews 13:8 that says, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever, is real." He laid hands on my grandma. And my grandma hadn't been out of bed for at least 3 months. She hadn't eaten because she was being fed intravenously. She jumped out of bed. And she said, "I'm going to have a bologna sandwich and a dill pickle." She drank a Pepsi, and she'd buy Wonder Bread, and she'd buy Con's bologna and put potato chips on it and mash it down with a dill pickle. Doesn't that sound good? It's time to go home for lunch. She went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You see, you came too late to tell me all that stuff died in the Old Testament. You came too late to tell me that stuff died with the New Testament, because I've got a testimony. I've got a witness." The doctor said, "Mrs. Flynn, the same organs that were eaten up with cancer and pieces were gone are now all there, and there's scar tissue. We have had ourselves a miracle." That Christmas, 33 of her derelict grandchildren got saved. 17 of us are now in full-time ministry. I tell you, Satan cannot curse what God has blessed. September the 10th, 2001. I'm already over my time. We're going to start the altar call. I got to let you out. I was in prayer. Four of us were in prayer, including my husband. We were planting a new church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And we had an open vision of the Lord that looked like a shepherd. And he said, "Plead my blood over the two towers and a mile and a half around." Thinking, two towers, a mile and a half around. What does that mean? I thought it was the two twin towers in Minneapolis. The next day was September 11th, 2001. I took my prayer journal and said, "Mom, look, drew a picture of it. There was the two towers and Jesus standing between them." I thought, "Lord, I missed your will. You wanted me to stop that attack." When I saw that the plane had hit the two buildings, I thought, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." So for 3 days, have you ever prayed about something and thought you missed it because we didn't understand the plans of God? I ended up going to Kansas City to the house of prayer, and Cindy Jacobs was there, and she said, she was a speaker, and she said on September 11th, she was supposed to have a prayer meeting in the basement of the Twin Towers, and at 6 o'clock, the Lord woke her up and said, "Go out a mile and a half to an office complex and have prayer." While she was praying, the cell phone rang at 9:30 something of her prayer partner. And on the other end of the cell phone, the prayer partner's husband was on the 84th floor of the Twin Towers. He said, "Sweetheart, I'm in the biggest building, the biggest room in the building, and I'm standing on a desk, and there are hundreds of people, thousands of people coming in. And they're kneeling, and I'm praying them with the sinner's prayer. I won't see you in this life, but I'll see you in heaven." Click, and the Holy Spirit said, That's why I told you to pray. He said, because wherever I see the blood, I'll have mercy. Wherever I see the blood, I will show up. You need to know it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're doing even now. The Lord said, I'm not mad. The blood has been provided for you. While you're yet a sinner, I loved you and gave myself for you. I'm not mad at you. I'm crazy about you. Could I have two ushers just for a moment? Shelly, bring the red. Let me tell what I want us to do. And this is our, I'm going to give it to the pastor. He asked permission. He said, I could do this. Two ushers right here. I don't know what you need. I don't have to ask any questions. It's none of my business. Wait, what you've done and where you've been. Because if you don't ask me, I won't tell you either. Hallelujah. What's under the blood stays under the blood. But today, just in this time, I'd like to invite the entire church who would like to. Some of you go, you know, if you're a visitor, I'm so sorry. Come back tomorrow. You'll hear a good sermon next Sunday. You'll hear a really good sermon, I promise. But it's like, would you mind draping that? And you guys standing here and here and just draping that. Raise it up high. You see, when God looks down from heaven, He sees you through the blood. It covers everything. Love covers a multitude of sins. See, it's only you guys who see me with all my failures and all my quirks. But when he sees me through the blood. And what we're going to get ready to do, oh, kalamadadadabaha. What we're going to get ready to, he sees me through the blood. What we're going to do, you can put it down on my brother, thank you. After pastor comes up and does what he, as a pastor, your shepherd, your daddy, is going to do. Then those, he'll have a dismissal player, and those who want to go can go. But those who want to come through, and this is what I like to do. Can you do it one more time? I like to do this periodically. I really need him to help me. How about you? All I am is one beggar telling other beggars where I found bread. And we'll have an altar to where you can come through and just touch it. And everything that you brought in to this place up until a minute ago drops on the other side, and we can start over, and the blood can be applied to your time, and you'll begin to restore the years. Somebody put your hands together as your pastor comes up now in the name of Jesus. We'll do this later, okay? God bless you, pastor.